I'm Bob Kessler on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, American Bandstand music.
I don't think so.
Yeah?
Is that American Bandstand? Kristen is trying to get us, trying to hip us up a little bit with music. Some of it we know and some of it we don't.
Well, Vampire Weekend.
Vampire Weekend. So perfect. So perfect, yes. Couple things. We have a Facebook page. It's simply called Kathy and Judy. We thought that was kind of catchy. And we have a bunch of girlfriends on there. And if you go to the Facebook page and check it out, make sure you give us a like, too, at Couldn't Height. But one of the things we want to do over the next couple weeks, and we started this week, was I have so many pictures from before of events that we went to. And
it sounds like BC.
BC, yeah, right. And just pictures with listeners. And many of them, we don't know who you were. We had our picture taken with you, but we just don't know. And one of the
probably they still are.
Who were they were. That's yes. Right. And one of the picture that I put up this week is early on in our radio career, we were sort of addressing the country mouse, city mouse phenomenon. And we knew that we had a lot of girlfriends out in the country. And a bunch of girlfriends who lived out in the Manhattan Minooka area, by which I drive every time I head home or from Princeton, said, come on out for the weekend. So we did.
It was a pig farm. It was Shirley and
Ed Moore's pig farm. Right. And we just had the best time. And we went to a grain elevator. And then we went to... we did a hayride at night. So I posted a picture. Yes, we did. It was a fun hayride. You had a good time. And we posted a picture of the two of us with a handful, maybe five or six of our girlfriends from the country. And we just wondered who you were, And one of the women, Mary Ward, passed away a couple years ago, and her daughter said, oh, that's my mom. She was out there with you. So check out the Kathy and Judy Facebook page, because this is something we're going to do over the next several weeks. Every now and again,
We'll throw up a new picture,
say when it was, what was going on, and you look at it and see if you were involved in some of the events that we did, and we did a lot. One of the ones that I saw that would be fun to put up, when we did a thing about redheads at Taste of Chicago, and we had four redheaded kids, and we had people try and match them to their parents. Well, the truth is, those redheaded kids probably have kids of their own now. So anyway, that's one thing that we're going to do on our Facebook page. So, so please check that out. And also, we'll be appearing on November 14th, which is a week from this Thursday, with Rick Kogan in his operation called Chicago Live. And it will be down at Governor State University, and he'll interview us, I guess. We'll try to wrest control away from him, as we often do. But so if you'd like to come down to Governor State...
Oh, I have a great idea for one of the things we can do. I'm not going to tell it on the radio.
Okay. if you would like to come down to Governor State University on the 14th, on Thursday the 14th, go to the WGNradio.com webpage. And Kristen has put up instructions on there about how you can buy tickets and be in the audience down at Governor State University. So that's a little bit of housekeeping. Do you have any housekeeping to add?
I haven't changed my winter clothes for my summer clothes.
What do you mean?
That's housekeeping.
What do you mean? You move all your summer clothes someplace else?
Into the other closet.
Really?
Wait, don't you have a difference between your winter clothes and your summer clothes?
Yeah, but I go in the closet and I look and I say, oh, that's too summery. I'll wear this big sweater.
You're kidding me.
No. No.
You have them mixed?
How many closets do you have?
Half of one and a whole of another small one.
Okay. I don't have that many closets. I live in a really, really old house.
But it's big.
I know, but back in the day, they didn't used to have closets. They used to keep their clothes, and they had considerably fewer clothes than we do, in armoires or in chiffon robes. And so you had four dresses. And one of them was lightweight wool that you would wear when it was 80. And the others were heavyweight wool that you would wear in the wintertime.
How do you know this?
It's history.
Well, I'm
on the board of the Bureau
of
County Historical Society. People just didn't used to have the amount of clothes that we do.
I wish I had four dresses I liked or that fit.
Yeah, I mean, we are in such an age now of disposable clothing because it's so cheap.
And what's the oldest thing you have?
Probably that St. John's jacket that I
can't let go of.
Do you remember that? When we got one of our first raises. Right. We got a raise, and I had never, ever bought expensive clothes, ever. And I was just feeling so flush. And I went down to the St. John's store. I don't know if it's still there.
Oh, I've never walked. I never would have walked in there. Yeah. I would have gone to Bloomingdale's.
Yeah. And I bought this beautiful, actually, I think it's sort of timeless. It's very Nancy Reagan-ish. And
why don't you wear it that Thursday night to the
Chicago Governor Live State. At Governor State? Maybe I will.
What color is it? I don't want to clash.
It's sort of dark pinkish and black and, you know, it's all many, many, many colors. Anyway, as always, our number is 312-981-7200. You are welcome to jump in on any of our conversations. But I wanted to bring up a topic that we have discussed before and a topic on which we were pretty adamant. And I'm trying to decide if I've changed my mind on it or if I haven't. And I don't think I have.
What is it?
Adult children living at home with their parents.
When we first
came on the air about 20 something years ago, we felt very strongly that once your children are grown, once they've either graduated from high school and gone off into the working world, or once they've graduated from college and gone off into the working world, that's when children were supposed to go be on their own. They were supposed to get their own apartments, and they were supposed to learn about budgeting and paying for groceries and paying for rent and stuff like that. And we felt very strongly about that. And
we were snotty as hell about
that. Much to the chagrin of many 52-year-olds who were still living at mother's house. And the new development is that made me reconsider, obviously, the economy. And that is often invoked because they say, well, the economy is so different now. Young people just simply can't. They simply can't afford the kinds of things that we did, like a place to live. And a story on NPR a couple weeks ago was that builders now are building homes with a separate apartment, sort of like the in-law apartment idea.
Only it's your adult child?
Exactly. And I read it.
Is it attached to the house or is it out back?
No, it's attached. It's sort of like the entrance to your own little I still live with mom and dad place is down a hallway. And then you open the door and then you go into your own house within a house. It's your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen. You got your own place, but you're still at mom and dad's house. And I'm still kind of sticking with, I know a lot of young people who live in apartments with three other people because that's the only way they can afford it. I know it's not cheap to get an apartment, particularly in Chicago. I mean, if you're in one of the trendy neighborhoods, to find a one or two bedroom apartment, it's a lot. But they do it with other kids, with other young people. And I don't know if other people have changed on that and said, I'm perfectly fine with my 34-year-old living at home because he can't find a very good job.
I think its duration is one thing.
Meaning?
And I think I've suffered. Well, if a kid's going to live with you for 6 months.
Fine. Totally understand. But when you build your own apartment for the kid.
Well, you've got a hell of a lot of money to do that. And
right.
And that's encouraging a lack of independence.
312-981-7200. Kathy and Judy revisiting the old idea of whether or not adult children are supposed to get the hell out and live on their own.
Look at that kid coming into my living room with all his suitcases. Oh,
wait a minute.
He's not a kid.
He's 34.
This is
a topic that we visited from time to time before, and it's we're revisiting it because there's new developments. The topic is adult children who still live with their parents. And yes, we know there has been a recession. But apparently builders, some builders, are beginning to offer a model that gives a separate living quarters, not just a bedroom, living quarters, bathroom, kitchen, dining room, the whole schmear, within your home, sort of a separate wing. And so we're just talking about that, whether or not you think that's a great idea, or if you, like me, sort of still feel that even if you're living in a crummy apartment with three or four other young people, that it's smart for young adults to get out on their own. This is Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How do you feel about it?
You know, I think it's okay if folks want to stay with their parents, as long as it's really a two-way street and that the child is giving back to that environment.
How long, you know, Heidi, till they're in their 40s?
40s. Well, like I say, I think it really depends on the family, because there will be a point, if it's not working, it's not working. And then you have to tell that child, okay, you know, the jig is up. But if we were, as an American culture, able to embrace the European culture a little bit more, or the Asian culture, or you do really care for your parents in that regard, then I think it would be beneficial. But if you're just there because you cannot, not because you want to be there, if you're just there because you cannot make it on your own, I think, yeah, there's an end of the line there.
Do you have adult children?
I do not. I am thinking about my own parents.
Are you an adult children?
Yeah.
And you're thinking
I'm
that
down the road, if it would benefit, my parents are very, very able and active, and they don't need someone right now. But I think I would like to be in a position where I could be someone that would say, I'll do the cooking, I'll do the cleaning, I'll do what you need, I'll get everything done for you, so you don't have to do it. And I don't know how would that model work, because I'm used to being on my own. But I think it might be something down the road.
So you'd have to move into a place that could accommodate that, because neither of you has.
Right now, that wouldn't work.
And it seems
we don't have the space for it right now.
Yeah, it seems like the ideal in that situation is the two-family bungalow, or the two-family two-flat, where mom and dad live downstairs and the adult kids and their family live upstairs and everybody can interact, even though you're not technically sharing exactly the same space.
I've told you this. My dad lived on the upper floor with me and my mom and brother.
Right.
Of his mother, my grandmother.
Until you moved to California.
For 12 years.
Yeah.
And boy, did she come tiptoeing up the stairs every morning.
To check you all out?
You were out a little late last night.
Oh,
could you believe that? When
I think
of that now as a grown woman.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, that's a mother-in-law problem.
Yeah. Like that much.
All right, Heidi, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, and this is Paula. Paula, how are you feeling about this?
Well, I raised my children when they went to college, when they came out of college. I'm opposed to adding on or special living for your children. When my children finished college, we offered them to come home for free for a year to maximum.
That's long.
Got a job. Yeah.
Okay, Paula, but let me guess. Was this in the 90s?
Save up their money.
Was this in the 90s?
Yes.
Okay, it was before the current economic downturn.
Okay, I agree with you. However, if you invite them in, build them this, you know, space.
Build it and they will come, as they
say.
Right.
They will get comfortable with, I have friends who are in that situation. They get comfortable. How do you get them out? Then it's more difficult to get them out than to get them in. My children know in a dire emergency, okay, they can come home under, you know, with conditions that, you know, they will get back on their feet within a certain amount of time.
So it wouldn't be loosey-goosey. It wouldn't be, move
absolutely
home.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And you know, I mean, me and my sisters and brothers were born in the 50s. So this, you know, economic problem that we had no money, and having no money made you work harder to get. None of us went home after we left. we weren't allowed to. And this theory about how they can't afford a nice apartment in the city of Chicago. Then you don't live in the city of Chicago.
My
first apartment was, with a roommate, cheap. It wasn't nice. Made me work harder, save harder to get, to a nicer apartment. Made me work harder and save harder to get into my first home.
See, now, Paula, you are sort of in our generation. It would be interesting to talk to, and I'm not sure of the age of our other callers because we have some waiting, to talk to some parents who have, so that would make parents in their 40s whose kids are now out of college and whether or not they look at it differently. But it would be good to hear from a 44-year-old parent or 51-year-old parent who says, my kids are not moving back.
My mom did?
59.
Well, yeah, okay. Oh, okay. All right, Paula.
You're a puppy.
But even if they're 40, even if I were 45 and my kids just graduated college, they're not going to get the job of their dream.
Right.
To start
this is
out
true.
With. They're not going to make $100,000. They're going to make $30,000 or $40,000. So then you get a roommate.
Right. Right.
Paula, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Paula.
Okay. My big word is teach them to save.
Okay. That's
thank
four.
You.
Okay. Thank you,
okay.
Paula. Our number is
3-1.
Kathy and Judy back. We're just wrapping up our conversation. It's sort of a retake on a conversation that we've had before, and that is about adult children living at home. When we first came on the air in the 90s, things were different. There still was a decent job market. Young people who graduated from college still generally were able to find pretty good jobs and get out on their own. And it was at that point that we established our get off my lawn position of get out of the house and go live on your own and be independent and be a grown-up.
But now, Joanne, who's our caller now, she's the one who has a very different perspective, and it's a good one.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Are you on a cell phone? Joanne, are you on a cell phone?
Yes.
Are you moving about?
Can you hear me? Yeah. I'm at the place where I was going anyway.
Well, try and talk with us. If you could stand still for a moment, is that possible?
All right.
Apparently not.
Hear me? No,
you still cut out. I'm gonna put you on hold, and Kristen is going to check in with you. I think Joanne's point was that there are so many more single parents today, young people with young children,
college age children.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, somebody who has to move out to move back in. Isn't that the idea that she was saying, as a single mom, you sometimes want them to come back to you? Like in the Julia Louis-Dreyfus movie, where she wanted her daughter, she really kind of wanted her daughter to come back to her.
She was just moving out and going to college.
Right.
Both moms had daughters moving, and they were single parents.
They were single.
So it was leaving them pretty much alone once the kids were gone. Joanne, we're really sorry we couldn't get to your call, but you were just cutting out so much that...
it was a bubbly call.
Yes, it was.
It was very bubbly.
Yes, it was.
Well, speaking of bubbly...
Yes.
I had said, we had promoted this, that we were going to talk about the aging cleavage.
Yes.
Now, what made me think of it was a couple weeks ago, I was on the West Coast. We were going to a wedding. We were going in a bus, and the woman behind me said, oh, my God, I'm going to have to put my purse in front of my chest all night. And she had a dress. She said, I didn't want to wear this dress. I wanted to wear another dress, but I couldn't fit into the other dress, and this is the only dress I could fit into. And then she removed her purse, and she said, look at this cleavage. It's like the Mississippi Delta. What was I to say?
Because she was correct.
We get them. I keep thinking I don't have one, but in some lights I do. And if you have like a push-up bra. So oddly
aging
enough,
cleavage is the phenomenon where, unlike a 22-year-old who could push her boobs up and have this beautiful clean line between them.
One vertical line with voluptuosity
on either
coming
side
out of it.
Yes.
So anyway, I promote this on the Facebook page. And what was so hilarious was one woman wrote back and said, It's absolutely disgusting. And a man wrote back and he said, any kind of cleavage is good for me.
How old was he? He was 97.
Right. So I would be most interested in hearing from some of you who have fought aging cleavage or who say, this is what a woman's body looks like at 63, and I'll be damned if I'm not wearing the strapless dress. Like, for instance, Goldie Hawn.
Mm-hmm. You know. Goldie Hawn, with all her work, it's right. not the same. It's not the same. It's not as pretty, I don't think.
I'm an opposer of aging cleavage.
I am too. And I'm
okay. And you're not that vain like me.
No, I have some vanity. I know that that's not a pretty look for me anymore. It's not, it's just not that pretty a look. And I have no problem with saying that there are some things that look great when you're 22 that don't look great when you're 72.
Oh, many things. It's a long list.
Yes, it's a long list. But you know our number. Please jump in. But be careful of your cleavage at 312-981-7200.
We're Kathy and Judy, and we're talking about the aging cleavage problem of should you try and expose it. There's that Mississippi Delta lineage up above that's quite unattractive. This is Kiki. Hi, Kiki.
Oh, my gosh, Kathy and Judy, I'm so happy to be talking to you.
Okay. Whoever thought it would be about aging cleavage.
So what's the story?
My name is also Kathy, but I go by Kiki, and today's my birthday, and my sister Marianne told me you guys are back on air.
Oh, happy birthday,
hon. Happy birthday. What's
the number?
How old are you?
So I'm 57.
Okay.
So you have aging cleavage.
I have aging cleavage. I'm sick of men saying, so, are you 32? I said, no, I'm freaking 57. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Oh, you're one of those women that always brags about how much younger you look.
But let's get to the cleavage part.
Yes.
Let's just do it, because here's the deal. This is the first time in my life my little baby boobies actually have drooped enough to give me some cleavage.
And you're not letting that go.
I'm not letting that go. I love these boobies, I got to tell you. But I actually can work it now, where I actually have a little inch and a half of cleavage for the first time in my life. And so what do I have, a year and a half at most before it comes a wrinkled mess?
I don't know. How honest can you be with yourself?
Well, that's it. I put on a lot of, like, you know, wrinkle filler and sealer on the upper chest.
Get out.
A little cleavage. I go to the movies. It's dark. And then, you know.
No one can see this.
Wait a minute. No. Cleavage for the movies?
Well, you know what? It's dark there.
And it's cold. It's
right.
So cold.
Are you wearing
a... Okay, I wear a scarf. I take it off once in a while. But okay. The deal is, I hate the freaky aging cleavage. I think it looks horrible. And when I can't work it anymore, I will let it go. But I'm hanging on to these moments.
Wait, I think it's a good thing. You're very much of a realist that you know it is temporal. Because, yes, you will get your Mississippi Delta at some point. But celebrating it, even with the spackle and the makeup covers, what kind of spackle do you put on your chestal area?
Well, you know, the same wrinkle, if I say the name, will they send me, like, a bunch for my birthday?
Maybe.
One never knows, yes.
I've been using Olay. Olay, you know, I'll give you my email. I've been using Olay on the facial wrinkles. So then if I want to wear the cleavage thing on the upper chest, I'll put a little bit of Olay wrinkle filler and sealer.
Well, wrinkle filler is just basically moisturizer. Because moisturizer plumps up the skin. Right.
You know, it has that silicone feel to it. I think they must use egg whites or something.
I'm going to buy that.
You're
across
working
the street.
For you my are face. Working it, Kiki.
I'm working it, girls, and I adore you.
Thank
you.
Happy damn birthday.
Is there a Mr. Kiki?
There is a Mr. Kiki. It's Alfredo.
Whoa. How does he like your cleavage?
Well, you know what? He's more of an ass man, I have to tell you.
Well, thanks for sharing. Happy birthday,
I don't
Kiki.
Even want to know what you're doing with your ass.
Yeah. I cut her off so she couldn't tell us. This is Candace. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Candace.
Hi, I'm listening to what you're saying about the chest area. There is a pad that works miracles for the chest, especially a lot of women who sleep on their side get really bad chest wrinkles when they wake up, you know, because they've been, their arms been flopped over their shoulder, uh-huh. and that creates, you know, an area of wrinkles. So there's something by Silk Skin. The girl was a makeup artist, and she started this company because, you know, these celebrities would have to go in front of the camera, and she would always have to work with silicone to make their chest look smooth, right?
So
basically what it is if you've ever been to the chiropractor for a bad back and they put those little things, those little sensors on your back, you know, that have silicone on them, it's the same thing, but they make it like in a large triangle to go right there where your cleavage is, and it literally acts as Botox, and your chest wrinkles disappear.
Wait a minute, doesn't it show?
That's clear.
No, you wear it at night. Yeah.
Oh, who cares?
I'm married, but who cares? You wear it at night. It sticks on, but there's also other things for the décolleté.
Wait, décolleté. So, but you have to say the name of this product or we'll never let you go.
I'm driving right now, but it's by Silk Skin. You can look it up on Amazon. Just Google Amazon décolleté chest pads. You'll see it. It's the red and black package. It works very, very well.
Judy, are you actually
that works as well.
Thinking of buying that?
Not only that, ladies, you need to be using peptides. You need to be using peptides on your chest. You always need to have sunscreen on your chest. I used to be an esthetician, so I know a lot about skincare.
Uh-huh.
And I keep up with everything. I still go to the shows and everything. But this product is amazing. I mean, it really, really works. It's just that you're spending $30 a month, basically.
That's a lot.
I'm putting that money toward
job.
The face. I mean,
that's
really.
Right.
God invented turtlenecks, so you just had to deal with the face. I need to get a turtleneck wedding dress.
I got your peptides right here. Well, thank you for the call.
There's one more thing, though. There's a pillow.
Hello.
For women also. There's a pillow that you can also see on Amazon.com. Where it goes, the strap goes around your neck, and then the pillow keeps your chest area flat from flopping over, and then it goes down through your chest, through your, you know, breast, and then around your rib cage. And so what that does is it keeps the area flat while you're sleeping on your side.
And you're supposed to sleep while wearing that strap-on thing. Or
yeah,
your pardon the expression.
It's like a pillow. Like, cause what I used to do, I used to wear an athletic bra and put socks between my boobs.
Oh, so this has been a lifetime issue.
Are you like really gorgeous and pretty, and you're one of those people that spends an hour to get ready before you go out?
No, I don't wear any makeup because my skin is amazing for my age. I'm 43.
Oh my God, what is the day of beautiful people?
This is
stop calling us.
This is a self-esteem moon, and this is so cool. Nobody.
Yeah, you're making us feel really crappy, you know?
I'm trying to help you.
I know, but you're working so hard. And you know what? It's sort of like going into.
I'm not. It's so little.
It's the only thing she does.
I know, but it's like. Walking into Nordstrom's and the woman at the Bobby Brown counter said, oh, I think you should try some wrinkle remover or wrinkle cream so that you don't get wrinkles. And do you want to say, can you look at this? Is it too late or not?
She has no eyeliner, no mascara, no blush,
Candace
no foundation.
Doesn't?
No. Do you?
Candace?
Do I wear these things? No, I don't wear any makeup every day. I mean,
you must wear moisturizer,
honey. See, I start wearing sunscreen is the key, ladies. Okay, what? Sunscreen is the key.
But not when you're 68.
Too late.
How old are you, Candace?
You know, in teenager, yes, you have to keep up the skin. Peptides.
We're back to peptides. Candace, how old are you?
I'm 43, and I am an interior designer. I've been an interior designer now for 10 years, and clients all the time, like, freak out when I tell them how old I am because they're like, oh, my God, I thought you were, like, 30,
all right, this is a theme. Like, this has become a theme on today's show. Women who consider themselves older in their 40s and 50s who freak people out because they always think they're younger.
But all it takes is taking care of yourself.
And peptides.
How do you buy a peptide?
Peptides are a miracle, and serums are incredible for your skin.
Where do you buy a peptide?
Where are peptides, and can you use them as laundry
brand,
detergent?
I'll tell you what my favorite brand is, ladies. I'll tell you what my favorite brand is. My favorite brand of skincare out right now that is not expensive, nothing is over $30, is by Elta MD.
Oh, I use their moisturizer. Okay.
Okay, their sunscreen is their the best. Their SPF 46 transparent. But also, you have to get the AM and the PM cream. I mean, couldn't be simpler. You put this on in the AM, then you put your sunscreen over it. At night, you wear the Elta MD PM, which is full of peptides. Peptides are
the key.
A miracle.
They're key.
They're
right.
The key. The key, too, and staying out of the sun.
Candace, is there a Mr. Candace?
Yes, he's right next to me.
Is he also Italian? Is his name like Alberto or Roberto or something?
No, but I make him wear peptides too.
Oh, he probably loves it. Candace, you're a hoot.
Every day.
You're a hoot. We're glad you were listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
is there a peptide aisle at Walgreens or CVS?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know from peptides. Are they near the eyeliner
like
or are they by
doesn't
the...
It?
I have no idea.
Brush your teeth with peptides.
Just do what Diane Keaton does and put on a turtleneck. Diane Keaton does it
well. We're very big on turtlenecks, or I personally
am. Oh, look. You're wearing a turtleneck today, and so am I.
What a shock. But you know, Judy, you've been using that Elsa whatever.
Elta 45.
Okay, and you don't look a day over 65.
Oh, yes, I do.
No. Oh, my goodness. We're Kathy and Judy. You know our number. It's 312-981-7200. And this is Sue. Hey, Sue.
Hi, girls.
Hi, Sue.
I've got stretch marks. I have stretch marks older than all of these callers.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I was going to say I have blood clots older than these people.
Honestly, I am not calling about my cleavage. I have twin daughters that are over 50, very, very greatly endowed, and one of them insists on wearing deep scoop neck tops all the time, and she has more wrinkles than the Nile River. You know,
aging cleavage.
She does, and large and lots of it. And how do you tell your daughter? Do I buy her a turtleneck?
Honey, wrap them up. You know,
and
get
you know what? What you don't? I say you don't tell her that she gets to pick how she dresses and how she looks. You don't.
Is she embarrassing you when you go out?
I'm sorry.
Does she embarrass you?
Do you go out together?
Oh, we do. We do. She's been in settings where I thought it was a little inappropriate. If she didn't have so much, it wouldn't stick out so
like for
far.
A baptism or something?
You know, the one to tell her is her other twin.
There you go. And that one is usually in flannel shirts and jeans and bow hunting. So I don't think she pays much attention.
Are they identical twins?
And they are.
They are.
And they are.
So their chest area
only
is identical.
Name.
Only in name.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very interesting. Sue, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye, girls.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, I don't think you tell somebody. Maybe it's just that I'm getting mellower as
brothers
I'm getting
and
older.
Or sisters could.
I would no more say that to one of my sisters. And I mean, they don't do it.
Here's how I'd say it.
Okay. And that's the key, that you would say it.
I would say.
If you had a sister. Here's Judy on delivery. Yes.
Right. This, you know what? All the clothes this year are all scoop necks, and I can't wear them, Sandy, because I have this Mississippi Delta Nile River situation going on in my chest.
Okay.
And
I'm Sandy, and she'll go, oh, really? I love to show off my cleavage.
Well, then she's not a good listener.
Back to you,
is she?
Judy.
Then I'd let it go. And okay. I just say, she's never been a good listener, and I'm not going to change her now. But it's a neutral way, I think.
Okay. Kathy and Judy back. Our number is 312-981-7200, and you are always welcome to jump in on our conversations. Our show now, like our show before, is not focused on guests and authors and people who are hacking something. It's about you guys, and it always has been.
Our world.
Yeah. And I was very alarmed this week to realize that, do you ever watch Hoarders?
I only have watched it with my daughter, and I was so horrified by it.
It makes me crazy. It makes me crazy, but I
realized. And then you run and clean something out?
Yes, and there is one area in which this week I said, oh, stop it. I have, over the last maybe year, when I get a delivery, and I tend to do a lot of online shopping.
Me too.
I look at the boxes and I go, oh, what a perfect size box. I'll put that down on a pile in the basement. And now I have a box condo in the basement. I have little boxes that one little book came in. I have boxes that my Roku came in.
Have you ever reused one?
No, I've never. No, maybe once a year. If I send a care package to Tris at NYU. Oh, okay, here, this box will fit. I do not need, and truly, I'm guessing there are probably 25 boxes down there. So that's on my list this week. I'm flattening them all out. I'm taking them over to recycling and doing it. I have some neighbors that I love who just recently cleared out the area above their garage because they added some living space, and the boxes were every box that everything they had ever bought came in. So the speakers that he bought in 1978, remember when speakers were the size of a small bathroom?
Right.
Yeah. Those boxes, the boxes, and he's an electronics guy, all those boxes with all of the plastic molded stuff that came with them.
Oh, no.
I know. And so I just wonder if that's a thing.
Box thing only?
If you're not a hoarder altogether, if you don't have dead cats under the dresser that fell over on them in 1981, but are you a box hoarder? And the other thing is receipts. I have bought things that 2 days later I realize that something's not right, but I can't return it because I've thrown out the receipt.
So you throw out the thing that would be worth it to
you,
and you keep the thing.
That's yes. A perfect observation.
Why don't you put your receipts in the basement where the boxes were?
Or put them in one of the boxes.
Yeah.
I have the perfect size box. I have the perfect size box for everything.
Some people
save them for years.
Oh, yeah. I mine are all digital. I mean, because I do so much
online
shopping.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
right.
I have a big file called orders or hoarders.
Right. There you go. How perfect. Yes. Right.
But if you save boxes, you should call in. But I bet you don't save this. And I just heard it about it this morning. And it was Andy Warhol apparently did a bunch of things called time capsules.
Yes.
And he would have a box and it would have all this flotsam and jetsam from his world, so it would have some junk mail in it. But he had a container of finger and toenail clippings
that were sent
to him that also held dead bees. Now, really, this is not art. this is soup. This is art.
Right.
This is way not art.
This is body. This is dead body parts.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. Right. Well, so, our number is 312-981-7200.
Oh, you have company, Kathy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just found out that I'm a box hoarder, and I'm addressing it before the organizer and the social worker and psychiatrist come in to talk me through it, as they do on the TV show. But we want to hear your experiences with hoarding boxes or hoarding receipts. I can see saving receipts for a month or two, but after that, you know if you like the thing or not.
No, but if you buy a new computer, Kathy, I save the box and the styrofoam because they don't, if something's wrong with it and you have to mail it in.
You're just justifying it, Judy. How long do you keep that box?
Until I no longer have the computer.
Which could be seven or eight years.
No,
oh,
3 years.
Oh, okay. All right. 312-981-7200. Kathy and Judy here.
That's you stacking your boxes in the basement.
I realize that I'm a box hoarder. I have a friend who's moving, and I called her and said, do you need boxes? because maybe if you need little ones or big ones, I've got boxes. She said, no, we're fine. I'm bringing her one large one because it's what my new patio chairs came in.
Oh, that
and those are
gigantic.
Big. Well, they're parts. I mean, you had to put them together, but those are big. Those are big. So I'm dropping those off to her later today. But when you realize that
you have
a problem with saving something that you think makes so much sense, because on Hoarders, they'll be going through somebody's bathroom that's piled high with crap, and they'll go, well, how about these medicine bottles?
Well, you never know.
No, maybe I'll start beading someday, and I'll need those for the beads. So I have a problem with the boxes in the basement. Melinda?
Mm-hmm.
You want to address the problem of box hoarding?
I think it's just funny. As you were talking about it, I thought, you know, I think it probably drives the men in my family crazy when I save my boxes. But their boxes for their tech equipment, their computers, their iPhones, their speakers from many years ago, those are the, oh, my goodness, I sure better not get rid of those boxes.
Okay, but how many do you have saved? To me, it would be reasonable to have five in one little space downstairs.
And
right
flattened.
Now, yeah, and right now I maybe have 30. Yes.
That is good, and I really don't need to even have any. I live two blocks from my postal shop. So I really have no reason to save them. But I do say there's some that come in the mail, and you're like, oh, these are great boxes.
I know, but it's not like they're not available out there.
Wait, Melinda. What are the qualities of a great box? We're talking cardboard here. We're talking brown.
Right.
Okay.
Clean and crisp, and they smell good, and they look good, and wow, look at that beautiful box. I just saved one. I had ordered something, and I did end up returning it, and I took it back in that box, and at the post office, they said, oh, you can't send it in that box. So I actually did go back home and get a different box.
Why?
Why couldn't you send it in that box?
It was a priority mailbox. He said, you're going to have to pay for it. But
oh, right. Yeah, if that's printed right on it. Yeah, see, and I have one right now. I ordered covers for my four new patio chairs that I assembled, and I ordered covers for them, and each cover came in a separate box, a beautifully constructed box, and the four boxes fit perfectly inside a fifth box. So I find myself saying, I really ought to save that. And then I think, when are you going to have four identical size things that need to be sent at the same time in a larger box? And the answer is never.
Never.
Thank you, Melinda.
You're welcome. Love you guys.
Thanks a lot. We love you too. This is Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. So glad that you ladies are back on the air.
Well, addressing these important issues.
So, what do you do relating to box hoarding?
Well, my husband was the first box hoarder in the house, and I realized this was becoming an issue because we have a crawl space, and it's not cemented. And that's where we store a lot of Christmas ornaments in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm digging around in there. And we're like four computers, you know, we've gotten rid of computers over time.
Right.
And all four boxes are in the crawl space.
Right. Yeah, that's a sign that it's
don't
time.
They get wet?
All crawl spaces aren't wet.
We put plywood down and then we can stack
some of them are. Yeah, some of them aren't wet.
Yeah. But then I started doing it, but I like the smaller boxes because, like, if I order from, say, I get cool little boxes with books in them or things. Those are odd sized boxes.
I know, but how long have they been sitting there?
Well, I have a little closet, so I don't have
a box closet.
No, with other things in it, but I mean, the space I have allotted for the boxes is limited.
Uh-huh.
It helps me control my little box addiction. But
yes.
I also was going to address the receipts because have you noticed that you can't really keep receipts anyway because they fade?
They do fade.
And I hate that. So now it creates a whole other problem because then I have to make copies of them.
Oh,
and then I have to have the receipt so that you can, like, you know, if you need it, you have it.
Do you copy them on your smartphone or do you copy them in your scanner?
In your computer?
On my computer because I don't have a smartphone.
And then you print them. You copy and print
them. Correct.
Okay. And do you acknowledge that you have a problem?
See, I didn't think it was a problem until you brought it up today.
So I guess I have to.
I want you to go think about that. I want you to go think about that, Michelle. How long do you?
The other thing I hoard is gift bags.
I do too.
I know. That's ridiculous.
But no, I keep, I reuse them. And
I never use them. I'll bring you all of mine.
That's because you have boxes. I think it's much better. I think it's much better to have bags.
Gift bags.
Flatten those little puppies out. Yeah, throw the tissue in.
Good point. All right, Michelle, I want you to go think about your problem.
I will. Thank you for your help.
Right. She's so glad she talked to us.
It's so hard to be in charge of the world. Sue.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the Kathy and Judy Show. Tell us about your problem.
Oh, my gosh. I realized that I've taken my hoarding problem that I had in a big house, and I thought I was over it because I'm in a small apartment.
Yes.
But then when you said that you had five boxes, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got 10 boxes in my small apartment.
And how long have they been sitting there?
I'm hoarding again.
How long have they been there?
Well, I've lived here 3 years.
See,
so,
yeah, and I think my longest held box has been about 2 or 3 years. So it's just stupid.
And this afternoon is you're getting rid of them.
I am. Yeah, I'm going to flatten them out and bring them over to recycling.
I told the girl that I talked to that I moved from a big house and either my attic or my basement or my garage could have got me on hoarders. You know?
Yeah.
So now I'm in a small apartment, so I think I don't have a hoarding problem.
Oh, I've seen hoarders with small apartments. Yes.
Now that you talk about it, I've got boxes inside my closet.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. Kathy, this is a service to the world.
This is a fine public service. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye.
And this is our old girlfriend, Bronwyn. Hi, Bronwyn.
Hi, girlfriend.
How are you?
I'm like, this is too good. I got to call in.
Okay.
My dad and stepmom live in Mineral Point, and they have a two-story, basement in their house, probably 15 stairs going down, and they have a closet full of boxes.
Okay. That continues to accumulate.
Yes.
But they keep the if. Have they always lived in a place? And they said, yeah, but, looked at new houses, but they didn't have a box closet.
They've lived there about 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And it just accumulates. They order a lot of stuff online, Christmas presents, everything.
Sure.
It just accumulates. And they actually have part of the other base, part of the back basement, with big boxes.
Yeah, see, and another level of the problem is that you learn that boxes fit inside each other. So even though it may look like there's a box on the pile, the truth is there's a box with four others of smaller sizes inside of it.
It's like those little Eskimo dolls.
Yes, exactly. Bronwyn, have you addressed...
When my daughter and I used to go up there to do something when she was little, we would organize their boxes for them.
You're proud of that.
Tuck them inside each other.
And then you'd put them back in the closet. Yeah. Well, you contributed.
Absolutely. And then go to Walmart to get the perfect size box because we don't have that one.
I told you I shouldn't have thrown those away.
It's like that. Oh, and the thing about the boxes, a good box has no tape. Or not a lot of tape on it.
Oh, and a good box has a UPS label that's easily peeled off.
Easily peeled
off.
Right. I just had that happen
the other
day.
Or you just put another big label on it.
That's right. When you reuse it 4 years from now. Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
Bronwyn, thanks for the call.
And good to hear from you.
Yes. Okay. And finally, this is Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You want to address the hoarding boxes issue?
Yes. Yes, and first, it's wonderful to have you back, but you should be on every day, Monday through
Friday. Oh, I live in
too
Princeton.
Hard. Too hard.
Yeah. I don't want to commute 120 miles each way. Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess not.
Yeah.
I have a different twist on boxes. My home was burglarized up in northern Wisconsin a few years ago, and I had these boxes that had things like it had a Mickey Mouse phone and it had a Red Ryder BB gun in it, and the pictures were on the outside of the boxes. And I have to tell you that it was very helpful to the police to be able to just take a picture of that picture on the box.
But wait a minute.
That's a whole new twist.
Your home was burglarized, but they didn't take the boxes.
No, they didn't take the boxes.
They took what was inside the box.
Yes, or not necessarily inside the box. And I had the boxes in the basement. They took all sorts of things from the home. But I had several boxes in the basement that were the exact thing of what they had taken. So
they had pictures.
And so he was able to take a picture of the Mickey Mouse phone and the BB gun. And
okay,
whatever.
So you filed your special mementos in a cardboard box with a photograph of what was inside instead of using a magic marker and just saying Mickey Mouse phone.
No, they were the original boxes in which they were delivered. You know, like you.
Oh.
Yeah, it was the original box, and it had the picture on it. No, I didn't take pictures. It had the picture
that
of the item.
That must have been valuable. I hope you didn't throw them out.
Well,
you know how they want Barbie dolls in the original.
Yes, right.
I think they're still sitting there. And I tend to be a box collector. I got one in the mail the other day, and now it's in the basement.
In the box pile.
But I do have three out-of-state kids and a grandson in college, and so I like to send things. So I do use them.
Okay.
Not all of them, but I use some of them. But
all right.
I thought you might be interested in the burglary aspect.
Yeah, interesting. Yes, we are, just in case you get burglarized. All right.
Your boxes aren't in danger.
Yes, thank you, Kay.
All right. Okay,
bye. We're Kathy and Judy. Our number, as always, is 312-981-7200. That our Steve Bertrand music.
Mm-hmm. Steve is, I don't think he's a good enough dancer for this.
Well, he's in Ireland right now. He's probably doing step dancing. He's with another one of his highly popular Steve Bertrand tours to Ireland. But he's here.
The Rick Steves of the literary
that's
set.
Right.
Or the drinking set.
Yeah, digitally. He's here with another one of his great Steve Bertrand on books and his... his subject actually posted on our Facebook page today, but just stick around, get comfortable, and listen to Steve Bertrand on books.
Hey, everybody, meet Amy Sue Nathan. Her first novel, The Glass Wives, is set on Chicago's North Shore. It's the story of a divorced mom whose ex-husband dies suddenly, tossing her into uncharted family waters. It's a story that Nathan lived, at least partially. Her ex-husband died suddenly several years ago, leaving their two young children without a dad. But here's the difference. In the novel, the mom, Evie, was able to tell her children the news. In real life, Nathan was not.
I hate to use the word haunt because I've come to terms with it, but it's always with me that I wasn't there at a time when they would have needed me more than any other time in their life. And I had just left. I had learned the lesson that you don't stay home if your children are away on vacation. I wasn't at that point yet. And so I went to Philadelphia to visit friends and family. That's where I'm from. And within about 6 hours after arriving, or, you know, one full day, I got the phone call, and I was on an airplane at 6:30 the next morning to go home.
It must have been a terrible time. I mean, clearly, even though it was an ex-husband, there's a loss there. And then to think of your kids here.
It was terrible. That was really something I try not to think about. I know that they were with people who cared about them, and it did happen late at night. So I think eventually they did fall asleep, and by the time they woke up, I was there.
So I'm wondering, because Evie was there, that must have been a conscious decision.
It was deliberate. In fiction, you can make things the way you wish they were, or in some cases, excuse me, the way you're glad they're not.
So you said it straight in a way.
I did. Yeah. I did. I tried to give her what I was not able to have.
Here's another thing about Nathan. She's a girlfriend, a longtime Kathy and Judy fan. As we wrap up, when you were writing essays for the Tribune and filling up your back seat with the first published article and all that, did you ever think that you would be featured on the Kathy and Judy show with a novel?
I didn't, but I have to tell you, it's a thrill, the whole thing. And I'm like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah, and you're a girlfriend.
I am.
Amy Sue Nathan, it was nice to talk to you.
It was nice to talk to you, too. Thank you for having me.
I'm Steve Bertrand. Follow me on Facebook at Steve Bertrand on Books or on Twitter at Steve Bertrand.
She's a verklempt girlfriend. Amy Nathan posted on our Kathy and Judy page on Facebook. She said, today, Steve Bertrand's interview with me will be on Kathy and Judy. And then in 2 weeks, they'll be in the south suburbs. We will be down in University Park in 2 weeks on the 14th. She says, I'm a verklempt girlfriend. So, Amy, we're glad that you're a girlfriend, but your topic.
It's so interesting what Amy's book is about, and I definitely am going to read it, about having an ex-husband and the power of the loss when they die. It happened to me this June. Well, it happened to Tom.
And it happened to me about 15 years ago.
Right. And I was stunned by my sense of loss. And we had had this acrimonious divorce and not a lot of contact in the early years of our now we're divorced time and aggravation intermittently. And things had calmed down and we were genial with each other and stuff. And when I heard his diagnosis from my daughter, I just couldn't believe that I was so profoundly saddened. And I wonder how many women whose ex-husbands have died.
Or men whose ex-wives have
died. Or men whose ex-wives have died have shared that feeling. I mean, there's times that when you probably thought, oh, if only, you know.
He'd die. Right? Yes.
And no, you don't like that. I mean, this is someone you probably grew up with or, you know, I shared over a third of my life with him.
And I think that when you give your heart to somebody, when you love somebody, you don't get that back. I mean, that part of your heart still is with somebody that you once loved, maybe now don't love, but did once. I just think there is some connection. I don't know, although maybe there's somebody out there that's going to call 312-981-7200 and say, I'm glad he's dead, or I'm glad she's dead.
I'd be surprised.
So horrible.
Right. I'd be so surprised.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you fit this particular mold of having lost an ex,
give us a call.
Yeah, it's 981-7200, area code 312, Kathy and Judy. Kathy and Judy back, and we're talking about when your ex-spouse passes away. Amy Sue Nathan has written a book about it. Do you remember the name? I just forgot the name. But anyway, you can look her up on Barnes & Noble or on Amazon and your independent bookstore. And the same thing happened to me this summer, though it happened to Tom. I mean, that's not fair. He's the one that died. And so we're talking to Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, your ex-wife died.
Good. Well, she was my current wife at the time. We were married, but we were in the process of separation. We weren't getting along. We hadn't really spoke to each other.
Even worse.
We hadn't really spoken in about 2 weeks. And yeah, she went to bed. We didn't speak, and she died in her sleep. And
God!
She never woke up. Never woke up that morning.
Wait a minute. Were you still sharing a bed?
No, she fell asleep on the couch. I went to bed. It should have been the other way around usually, but usually the man gets the couch. But she had the couch, and I didn't say goodnight to her. I didn't say nothing. She went to sleep and never woke up. And that was in 2006, and I still think about that every single day of my life. I had two young my kids were 6 and 7 at the time, so I've been playing the dual role of mother and father.
Oh my! How long ago was this, Chuck?
This was 2006.
So did your kids discover her or did you discover her?
No, actually I did. I wanted to make up with her that morning. I said, let's all go to church together as a family in my head. So I woke up the kids. I went to go wake her up and she was already gone.
What did they figure happened?
Pardon?
She was a young woman if she had children that age.
She was 40 years old at the time. They found out she had cardiomyopathy, which is an enlarged heart.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Which she probably was born with, and we knew nothing about it. No symptoms, no shortness of breath.
Chuck, was the world aware that you guys were splitting up at the time that she died? Or did you have to keep up the charade of, oh, I've lost my beloved wife?
It depends on which family members we were around. You know, certain ones, you know, knew and certain ones didn't.
Right.
Well, didn't the acrimony kind of fade when you found her that way? I mean, and then dealing with the shock, didn't you go more to the past?
The initial feeling was shock, and then the guilt set in, like, you know, oh, my God, you know, what, you know, we were, it was like, I didn't think about us not being together anymore. I was just thinking about, you know, my kids at the time and
sure.
how stupid it was. We were fighting and, you know, probably can't even remember what started the fight, you know, and it was, you know, it's just something I got to live with. I mean, I, you know, I don't blame myself, but it's like, you know, don't go to bed angry. My mom used to always tell me when I was a kid, you know, so it was one of those things, but you know, it's one day at a time now.
Have you remarried?
No, I live with my mom. She's handicapped. I take care of her, so we take care of my kids together. I work full-time, and, you know, I'm a busy person. That's all.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Chuck, thank you for the call.
Okay, I love your show, too. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Rita. Okay. Rita, this happened to you?
Hi.
Or this happened in your life?
Yes, my ex-husband died in April of this year during that big flood.
How long had you been divorced?
How long? Quite a while, 20 years.
Yeah, it's about the same for me.
Okay.
And what was your response?
Well, my daughter was the one who told me because she was the most direct relative. I felt very bad. He was a cruel man. I think he was bipolar and, you know, everything. And you know, we did what we could at that time as far as a burial and everything. At that time, I was out of my home because we were flooded out. I had just lost my job 2 weeks before, and
oh
we
God.
Did what we could. And then we got to the, after all the funeral arrangements and everything were made, we found out he had cashed in everything and only left us $124 to bury him with.
So did you give him a $120 burial?
Actually, you
dumpster.
Know, we didn't know this until after. And actually, you know, he was a vet, so we, you know, had him buried in that Abraham Lincoln Cemetery. And
okay.
The funeral, I mean, the services out there, which is beautiful. I would recommend that to anybody. And I just dug into my savings. And my, you know, I had saved some and I had inherited some and just, you know.
Did what you could.
Did what I could.
Right. But you didn't like him any better.
Memorial.
You didn't like him any better just because he was dead.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, at the wake, it was terrible because he wasn't a well-liked person.
And so people didn't know what to say.
Exactly.
What would people say, like, oh, wow. Or
something like that.
Or this must be weird for you. Or,
yeah,
you know, but he was mentally ill and never addressed it.
Well, this is what bothers me because I think he was, you know, he was involved in drugs at one time. And then I think he was bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, I'm in my 60s, bipolar was not.
Right.
No, it wasn't isolated. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Did you remarry?
I feel bad, but no, I did not.
You did not. Okay.
Well, it had been 20 years that you'd been on your own. I mean, his death didn't affect your marital status.
No, in fact, I actually lent him a lot of money during those times. And I don't understand, you know, which, you know. But I just feel...
I said bastard.
I feel he's at a better place. But,
well, he's dead, certainly.
And is still dead.
At peace.
Yeah.
He was a very, very unpeaceful last few years.
Does your world feel a little more peaceful without him out there somewhere?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because there was always, you know, if there was that mental illness aspect of it, there's always the unpredictability and exactly.
I can't wait to read this book because...
Yeah.
I do worry about my daughter because she has mixed feelings, hate, love, you know?
Uh-huh. Exactly. How could you not? How could you not with a cruel person? Yeah, exactly.
Marianne, thank you for the call.
Rita, actually.
Thank you.
Rita, thanks.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Thanks, Rita.
Thank you. Interesting subject.
Yeah, and I'm certain one that a lot of us can relate to.
This is Sharon.
Yes.
Hi. Now, what happened in your world?
I married my high school sweetheart. We dated from age 16 for about 5 years till we were through college. And we were married for about 10 years before we were divorced. He died in, I think it was 2011 or 12, married to his third wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't at the funeral or anything, but, you know, my daughters... I encouraged them to keep visiting him through the years. And it was, I was really surprised how reminiscing, how sad it was for me.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't like him. I didn't like him as a person after, you know, after our divorce and so on, the things that I went through with his second wife and all that kind of thing. But you remember that you were sweetheart at one point. It was a surprising thing to go through.
Yeah, interesting.
But I didn't have to bury him or do any of that. His third wife got to do that.
Well, and
but it's about your kids too, and right. I think all those years later, that you would be still struck with some version of sadness. It's strange.
Yeah. I mean,
but you really grew up with him, high school. My
right.
God,
exactly.
Right. From 10th grade on, we were divorced in 1969, divorced in 69. I'm 75 now.
So it would have been a long darn time.
Yeah.
Right.
My kids would, I always encouraged them to see him. Well, he
Good.
Lived right across the street after we were first.
Ooh, that's great. So you
Good
got to watch
kids.
All the new
yeah.
wives show up.
Oh, yeah, that was the bad part.
Yeah.
and there were times that I wouldn't have been too unhappy if he had died.
Yeah.
but we know the feeling.
Sharon, thank you so much for the call. I remember when Brian died.
You bet. Love you, girls.
Thank
Glad
you.
Thank
the
you.
Weird thing was that my inclination when I heard was that I've got to plan a funeral. No, you don't. Your kids do.
Because they were adults.
They were adults, and I was no longer married to them. And so to just step back and actually sit near the back, you know, at the service and everything else. And, it's weird. It's weird. One of our girlfriends texted, works for the Postal Service, had one of my customers that had been divorced for a long time. His wife was in a nursing home. He lived probably 40 or 50 miles away, and he went down there almost every day. This is his ex-wife. If they called him, if there was any problems, he would drive down as fast as he could. He still cared about his ex-wife, wanted to make sure she was taken care of. And it's amazing how much you can really still love somebody, even though you couldn't make your married life work. And I think a lot of people are like that.
What's love got to do with it, as Tina Turner said. No music?
Yeah, there's some music. You don't have your headphones on, so you can't. You hear it better if your headphones are on.
I know, but I had to give Paul the adapter.
You're missing a great song, I have to tell you.
Paul Lisnick has his headphones on. You're filling in for Bill Mahler today.
Yeah, and I'm here for an entire full hour.
Oh, you're going to be exhausted.
We're going to kill that in just an hour.
There you go.